Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a wonderful morning this is, despite the weather outside. Yes, it's rainy, but we are alive, and we still want to bless God that we're here on this earth to do something for him, to make him famous, to share the good news with those that don't know him. And yes, there are some people that are alive that don't know our Lord and Savior for themselves. So we just thank God for another day, and we give God glory this morning because it's because of him that we're able to have breath in our bodies and be able to talk and think and speak. And so we do thank God for another day, and I thank each and every one of you for joining us this morning. You know, you could have stayed in bed, especially because it's raining. Most people, when it's raining, it's that sound of rain. I know it was for me. I did not want to get up this morning because it's a Saturday. I'm off and it's raining, and I just wanted to lay here in bed and curl up under the covers. And it's also chilly outside. And so those factors wanted me to stay in the bed tonight, but this morning. But I know that I have a responsibility, and so I had to get up. And Apostle Banks, she will not be joining us today. She is with her family in Pennsylvania today, and so it's just me and those that are calling in. So again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you again for being faithful to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And before we go even further, I want to open us up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord God. Father, we know that you are in control, and no matter what we see with our natural eye, Lord God, we know that you are in control. And Father, we just lift up those that were affected by the shooting in Texas on yesterday. We just lift, Lord God, those young people up. Our young people are dealing with so much. It's like they have to worry about being shot on the street. Now they have to worry about being shot in school. So, God, we lift them up before you, Lord God, and we pray a hedge of protection over them. We pray, Father God, that those that are committing these crimes, oh God, we pray that they get help. They get help for the mental issues that they're dealing with. Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness and your consistency, Father God. And Lord, our young people are crying out, Lord God, and it's time for us to hear their voice. It's time for us to hear and pay attention to what it is that they're saying, because they are crying out. And many of them are crying out through negative behavior. And so, God, we pray a peace in their hearts. God, we surround them with the love of Christ so that the love of Christ would drive out those spirits that come to condemn them and to bring them down and to cause them pain and hurt and anguish. Father, we do thank you for loving us unconditionally, Lord God. You love us through, Lord God, our disobedience and our rebellion, God. You love us, and we just want to say thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for always looking out for us. And, Lord God, we know that you don't want us to suffer, Lord God, but we know that suffering is a part of helping us to grow up, helping us to build character, Father. In the name of Jesus, it's not meant to hurt us. But we know that a lot of times, if we didn't go through some things, the things that are deep down inside of us that you placed there would never grow, would never be birthed, because we would be too afraid to let those things be. So we thank you for your purpose and your plan. We thank you, Father God, that your promises never return unto you void. We thank you that you are a faithful, mighty God. You are awesome, Father. Never turning your back on us and never leaving us. And we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord God. Let your peace be on, Father God, the airways of this line. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak through your people and speak through me. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I just want to say excuse me, because for whatever reason, my sinuses or something are acting up this morning, so I feel a little congested, but my nose is running, and so please forgive me if I sound a little snotty. Please forgive me. Okay, so we're going to go back to the levels of faith because we did not share the rest of them on last week, and so I just wanted to share the rest of them today. So we're going to start with genuine faith. This type of faith permits no deception, pretense, charlatans, or braggarts. It is a genuine and sincere faith that flows from a true heart with the desire to do what is right. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it's in you also. So a person with this type of faith, they don't allow deception, braggart, charlatans, or any pretenses. They don't allow those things to change their mind about what it is that they're, they don't let that change their mind about their faith. It's sincere faith. That faith flows from the heart, and they want to do what is right despite what's going on around them. Their faith keeps them in a place of not being deceived or not listening to the voice of the enemy and then change their mind about their faith and then decide to do what it is that the world is doing just because it seems like, you know, that's what's winning nowadays. It seems like, or it may look like with the natural eye, that evil is winning, which we know that is a lie. We know it's a lie, but those that don't know Christ, to them, it looks like evil is winning. The next one is common faith, a faith commonly or mutually shared by all Christians who believe humanity can find salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Savior of the world, and that he hears and answers, excuse me, and answers prayers. In Titus 1:4, it is referred to as common faith, in God shared by all Christians that makes it possible to obtain eternal life. Titus, a true son in our common faith. In Romans 1:12, the Apostle Paul uses the word mutual faith. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of the mutual faith both of you and me. All right, so for instance, you have, give me one second. All right, so if you have a brother and sister in Christ, and sometimes you may be believing God for something, you may have a brother or sister that is believing God for something, and so the both of you have common faith. You're believing, you're mutually believing in something. You're believing Christ for something, to do something that he promised. And so you want to be, you're going to encourage one another, encourage one another to keep believing despite what may be going on in your life at that moment. So you encourage your brother, or your brother is encouraging you, or your sister is encouraging you, and you're encouraging that sister to keep going and keep believing. And so a lot of times, you know, that helps when you have someone in your corner with you that's believing something with you, because sometimes it gets hard when you've been believing a thing for so long. You know, you believe in a thing for so long and you start to get weary about it because it just looks like it's not going to happen. But again, that's what we see with our natural eyes. That's what we feel at that moment. Doesn't mean that that's true. Doesn't mean that that's truth. All right, so the next one is human level of faith. Human level of faith is the exercise and determination of man to have confidence in any object or person as he chooses, including the word of God. He can choose to have faith that a chair will support him, that which another person tells him is true, or that the sun will continue to rise each morning. The devil caused mankind to fall in the Garden of Eden and is the one who brings doubt and unbelief today. He doesn't mind if you choose to believe in a chair or the word of another person, but will do all in his power to destroy your faith in God's word. And so, to make goal is to destroy your faith in God's word. Because remember, he hates God. So anytime he can get one of us to turn against God, he loves that. Because he wants God to lose many of us. That's his game. That's his gimmick. He is a rude player. He doesn't know how to play by the rules. And so, yeah, he don't care if you believe what somebody else says. He doesn't care if you believe what another person says, because number one, that person is not God, so that doesn't matter. He doesn't believe if the different things that aren't of God words. Okay, whatever. That doesn't matter. But what he doesn't want you to believe is the word of God, because there is liberty, there is freedom, there is healing, there is deliverance. All that stuff is in God's word. So when you begin to read God's word and you begin to believe, I said, when you begin to read God's word and then you begin to believe God's word, transformation starts to take in you. Your mind starts to be changed, your heart begins to be changed, and you become a new person. That is not what the enemy wants to happen. He doesn't want to lose any person that he thought he gained. And so, it's a human level of faith. And let's just say, for example, if you work and you work every day, you believe or you have faith that you're going to get paid when it's time to get paid. So you go to work every day and you believe that you're going to get paid when the pay period ends. You believe that you have faith that whoever is in charge of putting payroll in is going to do it. So that's not something that you go to work every day wondering if the person is going to put your time in or wondering if you're going to get paid. You do the work and you just have faith that you're going to get paid. So that's not something that most people go to work thinking about every day, unless that particular thing has been interrupted, meaning that you did work and for whatever reason something happened and you didn't get paid. Or you did work, but your check was messed up. Then that's when your faith kind of is questioned when it comes to, whether I'm going to get paid. And that's because you've experienced something that makes you think that it may not happen. But until, something like that happens, you don't worry about stuff like that. You just perform your duties. And you go home every day and you just wait for your money to be deposited in your account. So we're going to go to the next one, faith without root. Jesus spoke of having faith without root, a faith that springs up quickly and beautifully, but because it has no depth, fails just as quickly when temptation and trials come along. For the most part, this is because the soil has not been adequately prepared by digging and searching for knowledge, guidance, and truth in God's word. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. That's from Luke 8:13. So this is a person that says they have faith, but their faith is not rooted in the word of God. Their faith may be rooted in a person or a thing, and when it doesn't happen, they basically fall apart. And so that's just like as a child, if your parents, you have faith that your parents are going to take care of you. We all do. We have faith and we believe that our parents are going to take care of us until it doesn't happen. And so we place our faith in a person. Sometimes we place our faith and things instead of in the Word of God. So we may hear something and we're believing for something. Somebody may have said, yeah, when I get my tax money, I'm going to give you some money. Or when I get my tax money, I'm going to buy you something. And so you place your faith in that. And then when the person gets their tax money, they don't call you. They avoid you. And so you place your faith in that, but it wasn't rooted in the right thing. So we have to learn how not to place our faith in the hands of man. Our faith, and we should be connected to the Word of God. Our faith should be connected to what the Word of God says, because we know that God's Word never fails. His Word never fails. His Word never fails. And so if we are rooted in, if our faith is rooted in the Word of God, He's not going to let us down. He is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. He's going to, the promise that He made to us, it's going to happen because it was rooted in the Word of God and not in man. So we're going to go to the next one, which is little faith, fearful, displaying a lack of total trust, was used by the Lord as a tender rebuke for anxiety and fear. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's from Matthew 6:30. But He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That's Matthew 8:26. So here there are examples of little faith. Like we think about things, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, and all that other stuff. And the Word is basically saying, if God takes care of the animals or the birds and the things that live outside of the house, the different animals that live outside of the house, if He makes sure that they have something to eat, why would He not make sure that, you know, we wouldn't have something to eat? What it's saying is that He takes care of us. So we should have faith and to know that God is going to take care of us no matter what we're going through. And sometimes our situations, they look big, but if we trust God, we know that He's going to be there and He's going to make a way. It's just that way. But sometimes our situations don't allow us to see that or believe it or have faith in it, because when our storms and trials come upon us, you know, sometimes they seem so heavy that we don't know how we're going to get out of it. And then we start trying to do stuff in our own strength and it doesn't work because we don't know the ending. We don't know, like God knows our ending from our beginning. We don't know that. And so we begin to try to figure it out for ourselves instead of, you know, really going to God. We go to God, we pray, but in our human minds, we still have to do something about it because we can't actually see with our natural eye. We can't see God actually working things out. So we figure, you know, let me help God do this when He don't really need our help. He needs us to have faith and let Him do His work and get out of His way. And then it talks about when He rebuked the winds and the sea. I just want to share a part that God had spoke to me recently, and I can't remember. I think I was in my room and I was meditating on the Word of God. I was talking to God. I was doing something, and I heard Him say to trust Him and walk on the water, and He will not let me drown. And I'm like, okay, God. And then in my mind, I had to try to sit there and figure things out. Like, what are you talking about, God? Like, what does that mean? It's right there. The very beginning of what He said was trust Him. Trust Him and walk on the water. He will not let me drown. Not walk on the water, you know, literally walk on the water, even though Peter did that.
But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in the things of him, in the things of him, trusting him to, and allowing my heart and my faith, giving him my heart and my faith, and just doing the things of God without question and without fear, because that's what it is. It's the fear of doing what God has called me to do, because I can't see the other part. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to happen. And so sometimes God gives us the answers in what he's telling us to do. He said to trust him. That's what it is. That's what he wants from me, is to trust him with everything, not just what I want to trust him for, but in everything I'm supposed to trust him. And so when God speaks to you in that way, and you know for yourself whether you really trust God fully. You may trust him in some things, but you may not trust him fully. And so when he says to you, trust him, apparently he knows that somewhere in your heart you really don't trust him 100%. So that was for me. So the next one is weak faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's from Romans 4:19. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Romans 14:1-3. Examples from the Bible of weakness in faith were of those who considered it a sin to eat meat. In our day, a person weak in faith might continually argue over areas of the Bible he or she does not correctly understand, but has formed a personal opinion. For someone to forbid and condemn the things he considers to be sin when there is no clear leading in Scripture would be a sin. But he who doubts, this is from Romans 14:23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. A person of little faith will find limited opportunities to benefit from the gospel and very little of the peace and joy that should accompany the Christian life. Those who are strong in faith are told to accept the weak. In Romans 15:1, it says, when then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Amen. So, weak faith, Weak faith is, you know, one that maybe they may believe just a little bit, but it's weak. It's what is the other word I'm trying to say? Think of the other word that I'm trying to use. It's brittle. It's brittle faith. It's weak faith. It means that somebody could say something, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't believe that anymore. You could be having faith in something, and then somebody comes along and say to you, well, they'll give you their opinion or something, and it sounds really good, but all this time, you know, your faith has been in this whatever that you've been believing in God for. And then somebody will come along and it sounds like a good thing, but it's their opinion and it's not rooted in the Word of God. And so then you change your mind. So now you change your mind about what it is that you've been believing God for, because this person came along with their opinion, not rooted in the Word of God, and it sounds good. And then now you don't believe what it was you were believing God for. Another thing is that when it talked about in Romans 15:1 that when then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So those that are strong in faith, we should be able to bear the infirmities of one that may not be strong, and we're not to please ourselves, you know, about certain things. And so it happens, you know, that happens a lot. And we just got to be careful, because if we are strong in the word of God, we should share that with those that aren't, so that their faith can become strong like ours. I think a lot of times what happens is that we may be strong in faith, and we forget to turn around and help someone else become strong in their faith. But that's how we help one another. And I think sometimes, you know, we may be going through something, and again, we forget that to help somebody else. I think, and this is my, I'm giving my opinion, and I just talked about somebody's opinion, but I truly believe that when we are going through, and I know that sometimes, you know, we hurt a whole lot and we go through some things, I believe that transparency, being transparent in the things that you go through, I believe that will help someone else in their faith walk. Because sometimes people look at Christians, they only see us where we are now. So they only see us being ministers. They only see us being leaders, but they don't know the history of what we've gone through. So they can only see what they see in us now, or what they see us doing now, but they don't actually know what it was that we had to walk through before we got to where we are. So some people think that we woke up and now we're leaders, but they don't know the history of what happened before we became a leader. And I believe that if we would share the things that we've gone through, it would help a lot of people come out of being shy or being afraid to speak. Transparency shows people that you're a real person and that you go through things. You've gone through some things. Some things you rather not tell people about because a fear of judgment or them not liking you anymore or forming an opinion about you. But see, that's where the enemy will want you to stay, in that place where he wants you to keep your mouth shut, because then he can torment you because it's a secret and nobody knows. So he can torment you with your secrets. And when you tell your secret, it's already out there. So basically, God is, when you tell your secret, you ask God for forgiveness, God has forgiven you. There's nothing that the enemy can hold over your head anymore. But when it's a secret, he can torment you with that thing. You can tell your pastor, you can tell another leader, you know, that you trust. But as long as you hold on to that thing, the enemy is going to torment you over that secret because he feels like it's his right to, because we're not supposed to carry secrets. We're just not supposed to have secrets about things because it gives the enemy the right to torment us. You are listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. If anybody has a comment or wants to share, please press 1 on your keypad, and I'll open the line for you to share. So if anybody, has a comment, wants to share something that they've gone through, they're going through, we would like to hear. Please press 1 on your keypad, and I will open up the line for you to share. Amen. So we're going to go to the next one. Faith without works. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works passively believes and accepts the Bible literally, but without action. Many people believe and have faith that God can do all his word says. They believe in miracles, yet fail to act on it, on his word. So this is just saying that somebody, you know, they have faith, but they never carry out the faith. They never put action to it. We can talk all day long. We can say what we believe and what we don't believe. We can say what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. But when we say we're going to do something, or we promise God we're going to do something, or God promises us something, and we say, yes, I believe your word, and God tells us to do something, yes, God, I believe your word, but then you don't put action behind it. Yes, it's good to believe God's word. That's what we are supposed to do. We're to believe the word of God. But there is action that has to go with it. That means if you say, I forgive my brother, you know, for what he did 10 years ago, the action behind that is actually going to your brother and saying to his face, I forgive you for what you did to me 10 years ago. But if you sit there and you just keep saying it out of your mouth, you're just saying it. Now, if your brother is not here for you to say that, if he's, you know, if he's passed away and he's no longer here, then you go to God and you tell God, God, I forgive my brother for what he did to me 10 years ago. But we have to put our faith to action. We have to, because God is not looking for us to keep talking and talking and talking and talking. You know, when you tell somebody you love them, but then your actions say something different, you wonder about that. You wonder if that's really love. Or you tell somebody you love them, but you never show them that you love them. And telling somebody that you love them is not always, you know, it's not about buying stuff to show that you love me. That's not what love is. That's not what I'm saying. Love is in your action, meaning the affection of it, the intimacy of it, you know, just encouraging somebody through something that they're going through. But again, we have to put our faith to work. We have to put our faith to work. We can't just, you say you believe in God for a new job. You know, I'm believing God for a new job. I believe in God for a new job. But you're not putting in any applications. So how would you really believe in God for a new job? You just want somebody to pick up the phone and call you out of the blue and say, hey, is your name such and such? Oh, yeah. Okay, this job is yours. You have to do the work. You have to do the research on the job. You have to put in your resume. You have to do your resume. You have to do the application. That is the action behind you believing God for a job. Amen? All right. So the next one, and this is the last one, it's wavering faith. And the definition is to bend or to be insincere. James encourages believers to put their faith in action, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man, stable in all his ways. All right, and I believe that I remember this one from last week, I think, but I'm going to go over it anyway. A wavering faith is one that doubts and is unstable in all his ways. Unbelief is either refusing to act or ignorance of the word of God. Regardless of how impossible the situation, the answer is unwavering faith. A wavering level of faith is also double-mindedness, which means two-souled, a constant changing of the mind. A double-minded person cannot maintain a consistent course of action, but wavers back and forth, both in faith and in their actual request of God. Their double-mindedness prevents them from holding tightly to their request until they have received the answer. So we see that when it comes to faith, a lot, it's like people waver in their faith. One minute they believe, the next minute they don't. One minute they believe, the next minute they don't. And it's almost like it happens. It's situational. If my situation is good, I believe God. If my situation is bad, I don't. As long as everything is going well, as long as everybody likes me, as long as I have a job, as long as my husband or my wife acts right, as long as my kids act right, I believe God. When that is not going, when my husband is not acting right, my wife is not acting right, my kids are not acting right, nobody likes me, the people on my job treat me funny, they they treat me mean, I don't believe God. You know, so it's like they're constantly changing their mind. They can't be consistent in one thing. They're back and forth. One minute, you know, they're depressed. The next minute, they're not. And you know, it's never consistent. It's just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And somebody tells them something. Oh yeah, I got it. And then 2 weeks later, oh no, I don't think I believe that anymore. And so, a lot of times that comes from, not being rooted and grounded, but that you can just change your mind at the drop of a dime. Keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so, you know, I think I believe I said this last week. I don't want to be unstable in all my ways. And unbelief is one of the ways that causes that double-mindedness. Unbelief and doubt can cause that double-mindedness. And those are the things that we have to get under control. We have to get those things under control. And I could be wrong, but I believe this is where some of the mental health issues stem from. Unbelief and doubt and being double-minded. And so we want to be stable in all our ways. We do want to be stable in all our ways. And I get it when we don't know the outcome of something, or when we can't see something, or we don't know how the end result is going to be. You know, I know that bothers me, knowing. Like, I hate not knowing the outcome of something. And a lot of times it's not going to be for me to know. I just got to trust God in it. And so we're not always going to know how the outcome is going to be, whether it's going to be good or bad or the way we wanted it to be. But when we ask God for help, we got to let go of our will and let God help. And when it doesn't end like we thought it should end, it still ended good because we asked for God's help. And we have one way of thinking how something's going to happen. We have one way of thinking how it should end. But when we ask for God's help and it ends in a different way that was different from ours, we still got to give God glory. We still have to rejoice. We still have to thank him. We still have to be grateful, because everything is not always going to happen the way that we want it to happen. It's just not, because in our minds, we may be thinking that we want it to happen this way, but it may not be good for us. Everything that we want may look good, but it may not be good. And so we should always ask for God's help in everything that we do, because we have one way of thinking, you know, how we want something to happen. And when it doesn't happen that way, we fall apart. But when we ask for God's help, we just have to trust him in his answer. Trust him in the end result. Trust him and thank him anyway. If you want something really, really bad, you may want something really bad. You may be interested in a guy, and he may look good on the outside. He may smell good. He talks good. He has money. You know, all these things. He has a good job. But that's the outwardly appearance. To you may want him really, really bad. But for God, because he knows the heart of this person, if he's not good for you. And so, again, we should just thank God for the times that he stepped in, when the times that we wanted something so bad, but it wasn't good for us. It wasn't right for us. But God stepped in, and he blocked that thing from taking place. And we may have been disappointed, we may have been discouraged, we may have been angry, but God stepped in because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And because he knows what he wants for us, and he knows that what he wants is better than what we want for ourselves, he'll step in. And so I just want to, again, thank everybody for joining. I know we have 20 minutes left. Again, I'm going to open up the line, or I'm going to just ask if anyone wants to speak, comment, anything, please press 1 on your keypad, and I'll open the line for you to speak. But I just want to bask in who, you know, who our Father is, because he is everything. He's everything to me. Hold on. Hi. My apostle is on. Apostle.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? I'm a little stuffy and I don't know what's going on, but I'm well.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I can hear the stuffiness. And I said, look at you. You're still a trooper, you know, still plugging away there. So bless your heart. Bless your heart. Amen. Good teaching that you're doing on faith this morning. Very good lesson. And I was remembering the times, you know, that I had to exercise my faith, and so many times. I mean, just even walking in this arena as a full time pastor of a small church, you know, having to have faith to leave my job, you know, to go to something that was not secure as far as what type of income would come in from this. And that took a level of faith. And it was a trying time. Praise be unto God. It was a trying time, you know, to do that. So I understood about the faith, that faith without works is dead. You know, hearing, you know, God called me to this field, and to do so, you know, without holding down a corporate position, and trusting in Him. I felt like when you told them about the dream, I think it was that you had, where God said, "Trust me, and walk on the water, and I will not let you drown." Even though He didn't say the water part to me, but when he told me to leave my job and to do this full time, he told me to trust him, you know, and you know, am I going to depend on that job, or will I depend on him? He's the source. The job was a resource, and he would, you know, figure out other ways on how to see to it that my needs were taken care of. And if I apply it to what he said to you, To me, this is a faith walk on water every day, every week is a faith walk on water. And God has not let me drown. He has not let me go under, you know, and faithfully I trust him, you know, to carry me through. So I was just listening, you know, to the faith. And you know the different times He's healed my body, and my faith, I believe that I would be able to do what he said I would do, you know. So it's just encouragement to hear, you know, you sharing on this topic. You know, I know we touched on some of it. I think it was last week, right? Was it last week? Oh, okay. But it's just good to hear, you know, the rest of the kinds of faith that one can have, and how important it is for us to trust God. So, beloved, I just want to thank you again, you know, for handling things and continuing the lesson that we were teaching. And I pray that it's encouraging others, you know, to let their faith be strengthened and not walk with weak faith, you know, but that they would walk, you know, in that faith that is necessary to receive what they need to receive from God. Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to keep you unmuted. But can you share with our listeners that time when you fell and you, was it your ankle?
Yes.
Share with them what you did.
Okay. Yes, I was in Pennsylvania visiting my mother, and the very day that I was coming home, And it was the week of Christmas, the very day that I was coming home. I walked out the front door, and there was some ice on it, and my foot slipped off the ice, and I fell and hit the ground. And I ended up breaking my ankle, and I did not know that the ankle was broken. Some young teenager helped me up off the ground. I got in the car and drove the 3 hours back here to Baltimore. And it was on a Saturday. And so that Sunday, let me see, no, was it, no, it may have been in the week. It may have been during the week, I'm sorry. But I came back and I ended up going to the hospital about it. And, you know, they told me it was broke and I would have black and blue marks up and down my leg. My leg would basically turn purple from the bruise and so forth. And it was going to be 6 weeks. And they put me in a boot, you know, to help me walk and so forth. So, you know, mentally I was prepared for being down for the 6 weeks. And down as much as I can be down, because, y'all, I continue to go, pain and all, I continue to go. But I knew I was supposed to be in this booth for 6 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. So then I went to church that Sunday, and in church, praise and worship was just awesome. I'm telling you, it was really awesome. And the presence of God, the manifested presence of God was there. And in that type of arena, that's where the prophetic word will come forth. That's where healing will come forth. Deliverance can come forth because God has, the Holy Spirit just magnifies himself in the midst of the praise and worship. So that day, I'm sitting there in my seat, and I heard this as clear as day, get up and walk. And I'm like, okay, how can you tell me to get up and walk with? Just 2 days ago, you know, I broke my ankle. They said I'm going to be down for a week and da-da-da-da-da. And it was get up and walk. And I said, okay, Lord, get up and walk. And again, the kids were singing. And I'm thinking, all right, if he's telling me to get up and walk, there's got to be something to it. So in faith, when they finished singing, I got up and told the congregation what he said, and I got up to walk. Well, two of my elders came, and they helped me to walk around the church. And I mean, they helped me. And mind you now, when I came in the church, I almost had to be carried into the church. So, but they assisted me to walk around the church the first time. Then the second time around the church, I was feeling stronger. So I told one of them, you know, to let me go, and the other one could hold on to me, and I walked around that church the second time. Then when it came to the third time, I told that elder, let me go, I'll do it by myself, and I walked around that church the third time all by myself. And then, I mean, at that point, you know, I was able to walk without pain, and my leg never turned black and blue. It never turned purple. I never had any of the things that they said, never took a painkiller, no nothing. I was instantly healed that day. But now God could have told me, or, you know, to get up and walk, and my faith would have been, and here's part of the weak faith. Faith would have been, weak faith for me would have been, I believe God heals. But I don't believe that that's going to happen right now. There's just no way. I believe, doctor said, my ankle is broken. I can't walk on it. It's going to be black and blue. That's what's going to happen. That's where my faith would have been, and I would not have got up to walk. But walking in the faith with God saying, trust me, get up and walk. And I felt that I had to be an example to our congregation. I had to be an example. Because there are things that the congregation, some of us, we need to see before we believe. There are those of us that will believe before we see, and there are some that need to see before they believe. So I had to be the example. What the doctor said would take 6 weeks, it happened in that service. It happened. And so the entire congregation was able to witness that. So that should have helped anyone walking in weak faith to have a stronger belief, you know, that God will heal. He still does. And so that's my story, baby girl. Minister to baby girl, I'm sorry.
Fine, I like baby girl.
Amen.
Yes. And it was awesome to be a witness, to see it. It was awesome just, you know, how it started off, because I saw her when she stood up and I'm looking like, okay, what is she about to do? Because you know, those who know Apostle know that you cannot get this woman to sit down for anything. And so when she stood up, I'm like, what is she about to do? So, you know, I'm watching her, and I believe you said something on a mic, like you were telling us what was about to take place. And so when I saw them help you walk around, and then you let them go, and you did it on your own, I was in awe, like, wow, God. You know, wow. And just to think, you could have sat there and you could have sat there and allowed the enemy to play those mind games, like, you know, it's going to hurt when you stand up, right? You know, the doctor told you that it's broke. So why would you even stand up on it? You're going to make it worse. You're going to be in so much pain. Why don't you just sit there? You know, that's what the enemy would tell us to do, just so that God doesn't get the glory out of it. And a lot of times we do just what the enemy tells us to do, because if we don't want to look stupid, or we don't want to be embarrassed, and so we just sit there. And knowing that we heard the voice of God, we just sit there. But it's going to come to a point where it's going to be such a pressing in your spirit to do it. Mm. It's almost like you're not going to be, and it's not going to be torment, because this is from our Father, so He's not going to torment us, but it's going to be such a pressure in your spirit that it's almost like it's going to force you to get up, force you to do the things of God, because there are a lot of people waiting on us to come out of that spirit of fear. If we only knew the lives that were waiting on us, we would instantly come out of the spirit of fear. There are people, and I said this at the beginning of the show, that there are still people that don't know God for themselves. It is. It may seem strange, but it is people that don't know God for themselves. And on a gospel radio show the other day, I heard this young girl say that, I want to say she said either she was raised in the church, she was raised in the church, but she stopped going to church because of something. But what got my attention is because she said she didn't know Him for herself. Like, she didn't know who God was for herself. And I was like, wow, like, she grew up in the church. And you're thinking, like, well, how could that be possible that you don't know God for yourself and you grew up in the church? It's because a lot of times our focus is somewhere else. Like, we're not really paying attention. We're just going because our parents making us go. And we never come home and open the Bible for ourselves. We basically just go on what the pastor is saying. And we never come home and spend that quality time with our Father. So that means that you could say that, like, I could say, I know Apostle, but if I don't spend time with her, I don't really know Apostle. I'm just, you know, that's what I'm saying, that I don't truly know her because I don't spend time with her. You can't say you know somebody if you don't spend time with them. Now, you can say, yeah, I met him or her before, but if you don't spend time with that person, you don't know that person. And I think in her situation, she met you know, Jesus before because of going to church, but she didn't know him. She didn't spend quality time with him. And so that's why she said what she said. Yeah, you can grow up in church. Yeah, you can grow up in the church, but the church never grew in you. So,
right.
So that's
beloved
probably what happened. Say it again.
Okay. Could I throw something in there real quick, please? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Interrupt you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, according. Thank you, baby. According to the word of God, you know, to know someone, when they spoke about knowing, like Adam knew his wife and so forth, or Abraham knew Sarah, they were talking about being intimate with that person. So to know someone is to have an intimate relationship with them. So when we say that we know God, you know, that is the intimacy that we have. We read his word, we pray, we worship him. He responds to our prayer. He answers them. We have faith in him. We trust him. We meditate on the word. So we are having an intimate relationship with him. Other people from other religions, they know of God, you know, and there are people, Christians, that are in church who know of God. They've read the stories. They've heard the testimonies. They go to church every single week, but they know of God. They haven't had an intimate relationship with God where they can say they know God. And so this would be why this young lady would say, you know, I've been in church all my life, but I didn't know God. And you just said, honey, you can be in church, you know, all of your life, but is the church in you? You know, did you become part of the church? Because the people become the church. They are the church. And that will come from our intimate relationship, you know, with God, and then us being intimate one with the other. And I was thinking about, you know, the numerous people that, say that they know me, and they know the name Etta Banks. They know the ministry that Etta Banks is the pastor of. You know, they may know something about my background, but you, Lady Tabika, Minister Tabika, you know me. You know my good, my bad, my ugly. You know me. We have an intimate relationship. And that's the difference between those who are acquainted with me and those who know me. You know, my family knows me, et cetera. But that's a strong word there, knowing God or knowing one another. So very good point, baby. Very good.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Thank you for elaborating more on the knowing part. So I guess if somebody ever asked me, you know, do you know such and such? And, you know, if I've never spent time with that person, I would have to change my wording to say I've met that person.
Yes.
Yes, because, again, when you say you know somebody, I mean, that means you know what you just said, they're good, they're bad, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. You know everything about this person. Like, sometimes you can complete the person's sentence because, you know, that's how much you know them. So a lot of people are just acquaintances, and that does not diminish who they are in your
life.
So it doesn't. So I don't want anybody to feel like, you know, just because you don't know a person, it diminishes who you are in their life. It doesn't. It's just a difference between knowing and being an acquaintance to someone. So we're coming to the end of our show, and I just want to again say thank you to everyone for joining us on this rainy day. You could still be asleep, but you decided to wake up. And so we just want to thank you for your loyalty and your faithfulness to this show. And we just pray that everybody has a good and prosperous, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, God bless.